Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 28th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Ethan McVeigh. Ethan is our new minister to preteens and junior high school students, and he and his wife Caroline just joined our church last week. And so at the end of the podcast, after he reads, I look forward to a time where we sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Ethan, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mary. I'm really excited to be here. It's good to be at Mountain Brook Baptist, and I'm excited to join you as we read scripture together this morning. Our passage is Hebrews chapter 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you so much, Ethan, for joining the podcast and for reading Hebrews chapter 12 for us. As I mentioned earlier, Ethan is our new minister to preteens and junior high school students. So we want to get to know you a little bit. So let's start at the beginning. Where did you grow up? Tell me about your family growing up, and then we'll move on to college, seminary, other things like that.
Sure. So I grew up in Daphne, Alabama. It is down on the coast across the bay from Mobile. It's really close to Fairhope or like 45 minutes from Orange Beach, if you know that area. So I grew up down there. I'm an only child, so grew up with my parents, but luckily I had a lot of friends in the neighborhood. We would play football or basketball outside almost every day. So that's where I grew up, and I love that area because of that. I love seafood, and I love being outside.
Okay, and then where did you go to college?
I went to college at the University of Alabama, so I moved to Tuscaloosa and lived there for 4 years and studied business while I was there, and that's where I felt called to ministry.
Oh, okay. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So I started my first year, I studied engineering, and it was just not exciting to me. And through that, I thought, what is it that I want to do with my life? What should I be doing with my life? What is my purpose? I started to ask some of those questions. And as I thought about that, I started to pray and ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me do with my life? And as I thought about different options, whether it was like going into the medical field or sticking with engineering or different paths I could take, I felt the Lord closing doors. And there was just this day in that December, my first year of college, where I realized I could be like a minister. Like, that's a real option. I just had never considered it before. And as I considered it more, thought about it, I really thought, man, I really think I would enjoy that. And I wonder even if like the Lord is calling me to that, because I feel unexcited and I felt like doors were closing in other areas. So I prayed and considered it more. I talked with some ministers who kind of confirmed that calling in me. So I'm really thankful for them. They confirmed some of my giftings and affirmed me. And from there, I kind of started to explore what that might look like. So through my first year, I switched from engineering to business to get kind of a business background. And then I went straight from my undergrad at Alabama to 3 years of seminary at Beeson Divinity School here in town in Birmingham.
Wonderful. Now, you met your wife, Caroline, somewhere in the midst of all of that.
That's
I want
right.
to hear that story.
Yeah. She and I met at the University of Alabama, so she is 2 grades below me, and so we met my junior year of college, and she's from Georgia originally, but her parents are both UA alum, and so that's how she ended up in Tuscaloosa. We met there. We worked some summer camps together. We met at the Baptist Campus Ministries and did a lot of ministry, worshiped together a lot. I was actually her small group leader. yeah, so we got to know each other during our first year, and then we started dating that second year. And then as I left for Beeson, she stayed and finished undergrad, and then eventually she would get a master's at Alabama as I was finishing at Beeson. And we graduated actually the same time, May of 2021, from our respective master's programs.
And when did you get married?
We got married like 2 or 3 months later in August of 21. Yeah, so we were like, we're graduated, we're going to get jobs and get married. So we did all the transition all at once. And that's when we moved to Huntsville all at the same time.
Okay, I'd like to get Caroline on the podcast too, so that she can talk, you know, about her own life.
Yeah.
But I want you to tell me a little bit about what she does for a living.
Yeah, so she's in marketing. She's really creative, and she loves that side of business. And so she works for Lewis Communications here in town, which is a marketing firm, and she has a few different clients that she specializes with.
Okay. Tell me about your time in Huntsville. What did you do there?
Yeah, so I was basically the associate minister to the youth and families there. I really enjoyed it. It was a set residency program, so when I was hired, I knew that I wouldn't be there longer than 2 years. But it was a program so that I could gain experience, but they were intentionally training me the whole time, which I really appreciated.
Wonderful. And so from Huntsville, you transitioned to Mountain Brook Baptist. Is that correct?
That's right. So we knew our 2 years was kind of coming to a close. So both Caroline and I started to look for where the Lord might be leading us next. And this job opened up with Lewis Communications for Caroline, and they're a company that she really loves and has had her eye on for a long time. And so when she was offered this position, we felt like it was the Lord calling us here. So she accepted that, and then I started looking at churches in Birmingham that I agreed with theologically and I thought were doing good ministry, and Mountain Brook is one of those churches. You guys are great, and I'm so glad to be here now.
I want to find out a little bit about your personality, what you like, what you don't like. So if you had to give me 3 words to describe your personality, and he didn't know he's going to have this question, what would those 3 words be?
Introspective, empathetic, and active.
Well, that was really good, especially on the spot. Introspective. Talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So I'm introverted by nature, which doesn't mean I'm shy, but it means that when I'm recharging my batteries, I'm going to be either alone or in a small group, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time thinking and processing and just feel like that's how I'm naturally bent.
Okay. Empathetic. Talk more about that. Have you always been someone who just kind of feels what other people are feeling?
Definitely. I'm one of those people that if I see you crying, I will cry. That's just how I am. I take on some of the emotions of the people around me, and I just can't help but feel what everyone else is feeling.
And then active, is that physically active? Is that what you meant by that?
I think I am happiest when I'm being active. So whether that's like going on a bike ride or one of the reasons I love youth ministry and student ministry is that we get to do fun things and do discipleship at the same time. So we can pair a game with a small devotional and things like that. And I just enjoyed that.
Tell me about your faith, Ethan. How did you come to faith, or would you describe it more as a journey?
For me, it's been a journey of faith. I'm really thankful for my parents. They raised me in a faithful household where we talked about God and we prayed pretty regularly. And we were really consistent at church. And that consistency meant that I built relationships with adults in my church that weren't my parents. And that was really meaningful for me later in life, especially when I had adults who would tell me, hey, if there's anything you want to talk about that you don't feel comfortable talking to your parents about, like, I'm here for you. I think those relationships are so important for us as we're growing in faith at the beginning. So, yeah, it was kind of a journey. I would say accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior maybe wasn't this massive one-time decision that I can look back on and say, hey, that's exactly when it happened. But it was just a natural next step for me. Which is a good thing, right? I'm blessed and thankful that it was just a next step that I took when I was young. So that probably happened in middle school or early high school, and I've continued to follow him since.
Is there a time or a season where you sensed the Lord's presence almost palpably, or sometime where he saw you through a difficulty?
Yeah, there was a season in college where I was leading some small groups, and I was kind of in some ministry leadership, but myself, I felt kind of spiritually dry, and I felt like I was doing a lot of things to lead them and not necessarily for my own relationship with God. And I had a friend during that season, and he was asking about my quiet time with the Lord, if I had any consistent time where I was either praying or reading my Bible. And I said, well, I just don't have time. I just feel so busy. I don't really know how I'm going to get it back. And his advice to me was, he was like, you need to do whatever it takes to get that time back and to prioritize that. And he was one of those guys that he was waking up at 4 a.m. every morning and going to work out.
Oh, word.
And then, I know. And then he would do his Bible reading and his quiet time after a workout. And in a college town, nobody is awake at 5 or 6 a.m., so it's a really good time to do that. And so he offered to me, he said, hey, if you want, you can come with me, we can work out together, and then we'll have a quiet time, and you can have a set-aside time to do that. And I said, okay, I guess I'll go. And so that was a really hard semester. We did that for about a year. And it was hard because there was a lot of things I was saying no to, right? In a college town, things start at like 9 or 10 o'clock. And a lot of times I was leaving at 10:30 or 11 because...
You had to get to bed.
Yeah, I was only going to get 5 hours of sleep if I went to bed at 11. So I said no to a lot, and it was hard, but it was really worth it. And that season, I felt really refreshed me and springboarded me forward to a healthy place before seminary.
Ethan, it was a wonderful passage that you read, Hebrews 12. I'm wondering if you want to make any commentary on this passage.
Yeah, I think something that's really interesting is that the first half of the chapter talks about discipline and how the Lord disciplines us. Then the second half of the chapter transitions to look more deeply at what it's like to be a part of God's kingdom. And I think the connection there is that the more we enter God's kingdom, we come into it through discipline. And so as the Lord disciplines us, and he disciplines us, and maybe there's specific areas of our lives, or we're open to him correcting us or showing us different places where we could change, then that is actually what transitions us deeper into communion with him and life with him day to day.
Do you have a favorite book of the Bible or a favorite verse?
Yeah, I think a book that I think about a lot is the book of Habakkuk. It's kind of a weird one, but the reason I like it so much is Habakkuk is basically going to the Lord in prayer and complaining. He's saying, God, this is what I see in our country and in my life, and I'm just not seeing you. You're not here, and I don't understand it. And then throughout the book, the Lord responds to Habakkuk's prayer and to his concerns, and sometimes there are answers that Habakkuk likes, and other times there's answers that Habakkuk doesn't like and struggles even more to accept. But the way he deals with it is that he goes back to the Lord in prayer again, and he says, okay, I'm really struggling with what you said, God. Could you explain it again? Does it have to be this way? I think the book overall just shows us what a life of faith should look like. He does a lot of waiting. The scripture of that book condenses, you know, to a few short chapters, but that happens over several years. And in our lives of faith, I hope that I can be like Habakkuk, where when I get frustrated, when I don't understand, that I would go to the Lord and that I would honestly just ask him questions. And then I would have the faithfulness to just wait and wait for God to answer.
Wonderful. As we're considering prayer and considering this season of ministry, are there hopes and dreams that you have for the preteens and the junior high school students that come in the doors of Mountain Brook Baptist?
Yeah, I hope that this is a place where they feel welcomed, where they feel known, and a place where they come to know the Lord and hopefully to love him. And I hope that I can help in that process. I hope specifically that I can help with our preteens to be leaders in our children's ministry and then to begin to transition well into youth ministry. And I hope for our junior high students that I can be someone that they've known for a few years. Hopefully I'll know them in preteen ministry, and that I am kind of a comforting presence as they first enter youth ministry, so it's not scary or a big jump, but it's just a natural progression. So I hope that I'm kind of the glue, the bridge that's helping them move from one place in life to the next, and then we can mark that maturing and we can celebrate it together.
Well, we sure are excited that you have joined the staff of Mountain Brook Baptist and that you and Caroline are our newest members. Thanks again for reading for the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I will. God, thank you so much for your word, which speaks to us. Thank you that you are a living and active God who is in our lives and is present with us today. I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears to see you working around us and in us. I pray that you would help us to see where you're at work in our community and in our families. God, I thank you for Mountain Brook Baptist Church, and I pray that this place is a community that is loving and it looks more and more like you every day. We love you, and we just pray all these things in your name. Amen.